Whoa. No, man, I'm seriously asking. What is this show, man? Two guys making a podcast. Got a lot to say, so we talk fast. If it's Thursday night, say Atlas. Two hosts, not miscast. Mike and Johnny, bring the bomb blast. On your Facebook feed, never bypass. Saying bad stuff, leave you flabbergast. Our spots, not super fast. Still, much better than a newscast. Miss the live show, rebroadcast. The Tangent Podcast, never outclassed, man. Tangent Podcast with Mike and Johnny, bringing the schmears. Rock for rookies, represent. Let's get the show started, man.
It's Tangent. It's Tangent. It's Tangent Podcast. It's Tangent. It's Tangent Podcast. It's Tangent. It's Tangent. It's Tangent Podcast.
Welcome to episode 4 of season 7 of Tangent Podcast with Mike and Johnny alongside the beautiful man Mike. I am Johnny. So as I was telling Michael before the show, Michael kept looking into the camera. There, cowboy. It's all good.
I couldn't come up with a good hand movement for Schmias. You know, it was like, bomb blast, bop, all that. I was like, Schmias.
No, first of all, there's two things you could do. You could do bring in the Schmias.
Bring in
the thumb Schmias. Or you could do bring in the Schmias. Apeus. Reference.
Both of those were better. I had nothing. I was just like, bring in the... And I was like... I don't know.
So Michael was looking at the screen and he was like, look at us. As a reference to when, what's his name? Was on to Hot Ones. What's his name?
Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd was on Hot Ones. And there was a great moment I was telling Michael about where there's two Formula One drivers. Okay, they were on the same team for a couple of seasons. Carlos Sainz and Lando Norris. Lando. Awesome.
But Sainz is how spelled how?
S-A-I-N-Z. He's Spanish.
Yeah.
So they were like best buddies, and they had a hilariously cute friendship. But then Carlos went to a different team, and now they're not on the same team anymore, and everybody's like, oh no, their friendship, it's gone. Anyway, so the last race, both of them ended up on the podium.
Right.
Lando in second place, Carlos Sainz in third place. And later, I forget when it was, Lando posted a picture of him with Carlos Sainz with the tag, look at us. And I was like, hey, not only is that a great reference, but that means that Lando Norris watches Hot Ones. That's cool. You know what's interesting about Hot Ones, by the way, is that Hot Ones has gone mainstream, basically, but it still feels intimate to me. It still feels like when I first started watching it and it wasn't as popular.
Because the celebrities are still surprised that they get to do something different and fun. Everything else is just sit in this chair, we're going to ask you a bunch of questions, and every once in a while they have to, unpopular opinion. You know, they get to play a couple of games here and now, and then you guys need to check out Unpopular Opinion the BBC radio.
Those are pretty funny, especially when Ricky Gervais is on.
I haven't seen that one.
He's so funny.
I've only seen like 4 of them, and one of them is definitely...
after you told me about it, I went home and I watched like 100 of them. Or whatever, however many I could get my hands on.
Dude, by the way, it's so cool. I know you guys can't see this, but while we're talking, it's doing the closed captions
to me. So, first of all, thank you so much for being with us here tonight. Of course, we're happy to be with you on this Thursday evening, the 3rd of June. Please tell your friends. Please share.
For reals, though, like, it's just a click away. You know, it's not difficult. People share stupider things all the time.
That's my favorite... Rolling Stones song, you know, the one where they go rape, murder, it's just a click away?
No.
Oh, it's from Gimme Shelter. Do you know what she's... Oh, of course
it's
you don't.
It's just a click away?
When she... No, okay, you just said it's just a shot away.
Song, okay.
She's singing rape, murder, it's just a shot away.
Yeah.
Do you know the story about the recording of that?
No.
The woman that they had, that they wanted to get, they were recording in the studio, it was like... midnight or very late at night, and they needed a woman to come and sing, and they called this woman, and she was like 8.5 months pregnant, and they were like come sing, and she's like, okay, fine. So she comes and she sings, and
again, we're talking about the song Gimme Shelter
by the Rolling Stones. So she comes out and she sings once, and they go, yeah, okay. Yeah, that was all right. You can give us a little more? And then she's like, she was so tired and she didn't want to be there. And she was just like, fine, I'm going to like destroy everybody. And she like went nuts the next time. And everybody was like, yeah, that's exactly what we were looking for. And she was like, I'm going to sleep.
And then she went to sleep and Jack Black was born.
And woke up.
Because you've seen that meme too.
I feel like Jack Black was
born. I love
born.
You all, but everyone, I like...
I saw a hilarious
clip. I can't
clip.
Not get Jack Black. People just send me Jack Black stuff.
I should have sent it to you. I saw a hilarious clip of Jack Black today. I guess he was a celebrity on The Price is Right.
Okay.
Okay, and a guy got a dollar on the wheel. And I guess you're paired up with a celebrity. I'm not exactly sure, but whatever. A guy got a dollar on the wheel. Jack Black is, like, freaking out. And the guy goes to slap high five to Jack Black. Ends up, like, smacking him in the face. And then Jack does this, like, crazy pratfall. And his, like, belly's jiggling and stuff. Then he, like, pops up. He's like, I'm okay! It's very funny. Very funny.
He's a celebrity. He's a celebrity I really, really, really want to meet.
All right, Michael, I'm going to outline a hypothetical situation for you. And I want you to tell me how you would react in this situation. Now, it's going to be very difficult for you to get in the mindset of what I'm going to describe to you. And I'll tell you why, okay? Imagine you're a high school football player.
Hold on.
I know.
Hold on. What's my motivation?
Your motivation is you don't want to let your teammates down, but you keep kosher. You with me?
No, I mean, like, why am I playing football?
Because you want to kick some ass.
And do I have a future?
Yes, you're a like, very, very good football player.
I'm a really good...
You're such a good football player.
This is making this harder to imagine.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. You're such a good...
High school football.
You're such a good high school football player that you've been getting some recruitment offers from colleges full scholarships.
Wow, wow, wow. Yeah. Am I a senior?
I don't know what grade you're in. Okay. Let's say yes. I don't think the grade matters. Okay. But the important thing is that you're a very good high school football player, and you keep kosher. Mm-hmm. I don't know what level of religious...
Do I keep Shabbat?
I don't know, but I do know that you keep kosher. Okay?
Okay, all right. So okay. Now I'm supposed okay. to guess who I am?
No. So one day you miss practice, a weightlifting practice.
Okay. Okay.
Then I guess the next time you see your coaches...
Yeah.
They pull you into another room and they tell you, you're punished for missing practice, okay?
Yeah.
You have to eat, and they open up a box, and there's a pepperoni pizza in there. And they're going to force you to eat it as a punishment for missing practice. What do you do?
Why did they choose that particular punishment?
Because they're assholes.
Oh, so it was like...
I don't know if they did...
They're not like, you missed weight practice, and we checked your weight now, and you don't weigh enough, so you have to eat a high-carbs meal,
no,
and that's going to make you fat, which is going to make you work more at the gym.
No, you missed weight... Okay, let's take the kosher out of it for a second.
Okay.
You missed practice. Now we're going to force you to eat this pizza,
yeah.
And then you're going to have to go lift weights. And if you don't lift weights... We're going to make everybody on your team do more weights. So you're going to be letting your team down if you don't do it. Now.
Was that
Now,
part
let's
of
put
it?
The kosher back in. And they're still going to, they still force you to eat the pizza.
Do they know I'm Jewish?
You tell them that you keep kosher and that you can't eat it, and then they let you take the pepperoni off. Now what do you do?
You're like, guys, can't we just order another pie? Okay, where is this? Can we get another pie?
You cannot get another pie. This happened
in... What is this, Houston, Texas?
This happened in Ohio. This is a true story.
That's kosher pizza in Ohio.
I don't remember where McKinley High School is. I think it might be in Dayton. So it would have been about a four-hour wait for a pizza pie. Plus, it's it's a Cleveland pizza place, so let's make it a five-hour wait.
Okay.
So what would you do?
I personally...
Do you think that you would have... Here's the thing, like, do you think that you would have the mental wherewithal to... Tell the coaches to suck it. Would you be willing to damage
That's
your...
That's unfair because my entire personality revolves around me telling people to suck it.
It yours.
Mine!
But the entire personality...
Of another person.
No. The entire personality of an athlete is to take orders. And be competitive.
Okay. the fact that we don't know this dude's religious level obviously makes it extremely difficult.
His family's suing the school. Okay, the head coach,
God also gives orders.
The head coach has been placed on administrative leave. The school is beside themselves with the school is very upset that it happened, and I'm sure that the kid is really upset that it happened, and obviously his parents are. I would like to believe, and I wish I could believe.
I'm just saying, maybe God.
That if I was in that position, I would tell the coaches to go F themselves. How dare you? This is not, I can't eat this. But then later what, come back and eat it?
I don't know. No, I'm just like, you were talking about you as the person or you
I
as would, you?
Me as me. I wish I, but again, as an athlete, you are told... Yes, this I don't know what the BHI thing means, but if it's... I don't imagine that there's many cases, Boris. By the way, Mazel Tov. Excellent to see you guys looking so happy. Boris got married the other day.
Mazel Tov.
Johnny
and I, we MC weddings. And it's just... it's a missed opportunity, is all I'm saying.
We weren't in Michigan, though.
But you fly in important people.
I'm not flying to Michigan. Sorry, Boris. Black Hebrew Israelite. Oh, okay, yeah, I guess that's what he is. But whatever. If the kid says he keeps kosher, he keeps kosher. You don't screw with that. Like, let him be.
But they knew he kept kosher.
He's told them.
Okay.
It's just a crazy story. It's like a crazy thing. At first, I was like, when I saw the headline, I was like, what, did they make him eat like a pork chop or something? But like... A pepperoni pizza
is very symbolic of not kosher.
What they wouldn't understand is the fact, oh, just take the... They don't understand that, like, there's the grease and it's cooked together. They don't understand that nuance.
Yeah.
Nor, by the way, in defense of the coach, nor would I expect him to understand the halachot of kashrut. However, if the kid says he keeps kosher... He keeps kosher. And figure out another way. Make him eat 10 Snickers bars. Like, there's a lot of food that you could force a kid to eat that isn't a problem.
But, okay, but again, we've just also ignored the punishment being given.
Well, that's another thing. Like,
they've outlawed, like, in the army.
Sports teams give weird punishments.
Do you know there are punishments that you were allowed to do when I was in the army in 2000 that you can no longer do now in 2021?
I would expect that.
You know the one where they give you, like, a minute to run somewhere and then you die? If you don't make it back in time, then you have to keep running it. It's called Tizuzim.
Okay.
You didn't have to do... Well, I mean, we had to do them when I was on the same base that you were at. Machve Elon.
Okay, I went to davening every morning, so I never exercised before.
It was not exercise, it was a punishment.
For what?
So let's say they go, okay, everyone has to be here in 3 minutes lined up, right? Just okay. Wow, and everybody wants. What happens if you don't do it?
Me? Or
if
everybody?
If everyone didn't get there in time and they were still trying to arrange themselves, what would they do?
They'd make you do some push-ups. They would try to make us do stuff, and then
like
the
what?
Like push-ups or sit-ups
so
or whatever?
So push-ups is the only, like calisthenics is the only rules that they're allowed to do. In my day, they would be like, you see that pole over there? You have 15 seconds to get to that pole and back in line the two of you saluting in the right order. It was an impossible time. And if you didn't make it the first time, they gave you less time to make it.
Right. And then what?
And then they just keep on doing that to you.
Until?
Until you collapse.
Okay.
And people collapsed.
Okay.
So they canceled it.
I assume that those types of things are still done in the high-end commando units.
Oh, because... Okay.
God doesn't see.
Yeah, you know it. Okay, yeah. For those of you that don't know it, because I forgot that we were not by ourselves for a second, there's a base in Israel called Shetach Me'ah. And I was told by my friend who attended that glorious summer camp that the tagline of the camp is Haramatkal lo yodea Elohim lo shomea ma kore b'shetach me'ah. The Ramatkal, the head of the army, doesn't know, and
chief of staff
doesn't know, and God's not listening, obviously, to the cries. God doesn't hear. So,
Liora points out that people can understand kosher in the same way as they could understand vegetarian or vegan. But I think that the kid understood. I don't think that the coach understood.
Leora, an interesting thing that happened to me once. Was the punishment not on purpose? Purpose because he keeps going.
That's not clear.
Really. So an interesting thing that happened to me once, Leora. I was in Poland, and I asked my wife if it was okay by our family for me to go eat at a vegan restaurant in Poland. And she said no because it wasn't kosher. And I was super hungry. And even though I'm sure we've had this conversation before, I'm like, what? What's already not kosher? She's like, who checked the lettuce? Who checks the lettuce for bugs the way they do in a kosher restaurant? They don't do that in most
vegan... Who lit the pilots on the stove?
That's not the same thing. No. But I'm saying that, but specific, it's like, yeah, I understand that things are kosher, but some people go super hardcore into, like, that's vegan, that's not vegan. You know, like, not everyone knows all the nuances of everyone else's stuff at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it's and with kashrut, nuance is very important for some people.
Anyway, it was like a very strange story.
I mean, yeah, that's correct. But also I'm not surprised because all that's been in the news has been all the anti-Semitism recently. Like, if you had just said, hey, could you imagine some guy forced a Jew to eat a pepperoni pizza on a football team? I'd be like, yeah, okay.
Did you hear about
the fact that we started the whole conversation where you worked me up to be excited to be getting into the big leagues? That changed. You could have just asked me, hey, anti-Semitism's a thing, right?
Did you hear the story about the woman in Tennessee with the gold Jew stars?
I'm saying yes, Leora, I read your comment. Yes, agreed.
Did you hear that
story?
Who
had juicy stars?
So there was a store that's very conservative, sort of...
Oh, the unvaccinated thing?
With the gold star?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's what's amazing about... If you guys didn't see this, there was a store in Tennessee that was offering I don't want to get vaccinated patches, but they were on gold six-pointed Stars of David, which is... pretty offensive.
They probably bought them from H&M. Remember when H&M had them? Like,
I think it was Zara.
Zara had them a few years ago. So they probably just passed that around. Someone's like, oh.
Zara's like, what are we going to do with all these?
Send them down south.
Send them to Tennessee. Anyway, so what was interesting about that is that woman basically got canceled immediately. Right? And she got canceled by progressives. Which is interesting, right? Progressives are the ones who hate...
No. They do not hate Jews.
Okay, progressives are the ones who were screaming about. I'm sorry, there's comments coming in thick and fast, and I can't follow them.
Thick and fast.
So the progressives are the ones who were jumping on her and saying, anti-Semitism, you're a racist, you can't do that, blah blah blah. Which was interesting because it had been a while since I've seen the progressives speak like that on my behalf, right?
Okay.
Why are they so willing to jump off of her, but they're not going to come after the people shooting rockets at me?
Because we're occupiers, but the Jews in America aren't.
It's so much simpler than that. You're not wrong, but it's so much simpler than that.
Assuming that's what their argument is.
She is conservative, right? Conservatives are Nazis, according to... progressives, right? So of course they would come after her. She's a Nazi. They hate Nazis. They hate fascists. That's
the woman who makes clothes. Oh, the unvaxxed.
She's a conservative. She's religious right. She's one of those. So they have no problem being on our side when they get to take down one of those. However, when it's on the other side of the aisle... not so much. Isn't that disturbing?
Well, the other side of the aisle still has Israel. That's the other side of the aisle. And they don't like Israel. And that's fine, which probably is an excellent segue into what you wanted to talk about.
We'll get into Israel a little bit.
But I just wanted to say, Malia wrote that she made Yudin masks with yellow stars and the word Yudin, like for traveling on planes. But her husband did not let her.
What's up, Daniil?
And by the way, I like it when people are like, and my husband, your husband didn't know, like, this is literally what husbands are for and wives are also for. Your partner's there to go, that's a terrible idea, don't do that.
Right. Quick shout out to Daniil Ben-Susan. Thanks for listening in. Daniil, his father was the rabbi of my shul growing up. His father is a great man. And that's all. That's it. That's
so. It's almost, school's almost over for me, so I'm most likely going to do something with my beard that my wife will attempt to stop at the last moment. Who knows?
All right.
It's been a hard year. Maybe I'll get away with it.
All right. Speaking of stopping at the last moment, and this is like, and then we can get into a little bit of what else I wanted to talk about. But, so everybody's like, hey, there's a coalition. Hey, we have a government. Am I the only one who thinks that there's no chance that we're going to actually have a government?
Okay.
And by the way, the government is full of, it's got an Arab MK on it.
It's the most diverse MK. Coalition got, we've ever had.
It's got women galore. It's got all kinds of interesting people in it. And
that's the name of my hair metal album.
Women. It's got women galore?
It's got women galore.
I feel like that's how you would promote it. They'd be like, hey, so why should we listen to your album? It's got women galore.
I'm a hetero. That's the first song I'm covering.
Heterosexual man.
Heterosexual man. So, great song by The Odds. Check it out. It's from like 92.
So why? Okay, so tell me, Michael, why do you believe that there will be a coalition?
Okay, so it's not that I do believe that there. Okay, so first of all, I'm going to start off with a shout out to Eyal, who I spoke to before the show to try to get as many different sides as I possibly could.
You can't do much better.
Yeah, so I thought that was a really, really good place to start. So, Eyal, thank you very much. Okay, so to start with, we already have a coalition, and every single person in the coalition has constituents that are upset with those people for being in the coalition. Okay. On every single side.
Okay.
You know? Okay. Meretz is so upset that they're sitting with Yamina. Right. Yamina's upset that they're sitting with the Arabs. The Arabs are upset that they're sitting with,
Naftali Bennett?
No!
Yamina?
With Meretz.
Really?
Yes, because, okay, so this is...
I thought they're all, like, makeup buddies. No.
Because, okay, so this is, okay, this is just the beginning, and I'm not going to do this in any organized fashion, just as things pop into my head. Mansoor Abbas, the head of Ram,
right.
First of all, seems like the best partner from the Arab sections of Israel that we could have. He is a guy who started off in the jointless party, and he left and started his own little party because he was the only guy who was like, we're never going to get Jack if we're always on the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
And he started becoming buddy-buddy with Netanyahu because he's like, Netanyahu is the prime minister of the country. If we're going to get something, he's going to be the one to give it to us.
Sound
so they became friendly during that time. Then when the elections just happened, Ram refused to sit with Netanyahu because... Hatsiyunut Datit was on the party, and they refused to sit with Ram, so no one would sit with it. What?
That's Smotrich.
Smotrich, right? So that's the main one of the main reasons why Netanyahu couldn't get the coalition together, because those two guys couldn't sit. But this guy's like, listen, we want to fix all the problems in Israel, so the only way to do that is by joining the government, which I don't know if you were reading at all the messages today, but they got like 50 billion shekels for redevelopment of Arab cities and infrastructure and a million stuff. That was a part of the promise in the coalition to bring them in.
Okay.
50 billion shekels to fight organized crime. Great. In the Arab sectors, to help rebuild in the infrastructures and the cities and development. Good. And all that kind of stuff. Great. And a bunch of other things which I like the law that specifically goes after Arab construction, illegal construction. But
didn't Jerry Orbach already sink it? What's his name? Orbach? It's not Jerry. Jerry Orbach's an actor, but who? What's his name?
I don't know. I don't know about already. I'm just telling you what I got so far.
Okay.
But what's his problem? They hate the gays.
Who's gay? Who hates the gays?
Ram. Ram.
Of course they do.
They hate the gays.
Of course.
And apparently one of their conditions was to not enact a rule that Meretz wanted to put in. And this got me thinking, Johnny. Okay, and even though we're not even
not convinced that there's going
to... Wait. I'm going to answer. I'm going to get to that as a problem. But here's another thing. The whole concept of politics is insanely evil at every level. Literally, the Ram were like, we want 50 billion shekels to help to develop our countries. And they're like, cool, let's do it. And he's like, but also, see those people over there? Fuck them.
What do they want to do to the gays?
They want to not allow some... I don't know the exact details, but they said, we're not doing this for the gay community. If you do that for the gay community to give the specific right, you know, whatever, we're not joining.
Right.
They made it a condition that the gays wouldn't get something, that the LGBT community wouldn't get something. That's that was a sad. Part of their condition. And you know who accepted it?
Bennett.
Meretz.
Whoa, so that's why Meretz people...
Because Meretz wants to be in the government for the first time in 20 years.
Right. Right.
Like, and so...
I voted for Meretz.
What?
I voted for Meretz.
Okay.
Okay.
No, but do you understand what I'm saying? Like, every person is going, I need to get something, and for the greater good, I'm going to allow someone else to be hurt. And everyone is always pushing everyone down.
Well,
you have to in order to compromise. Someone has to lose during a compromise.
In order to win, somebody has to lose. It's not even a joke. I mean, it is a joke based on our past, but it's not even really a joke.
Agreed. Agreed. And that's why, okay, so let's take all of that and then move that over, Johnny. Hold on, I'll click out. And let's move that over back to your question.
Wait, so, I want to say something very quickly. I don't know if you've noticed this, but there have been a bunch of memes going around that show, like, companies. Let's say, for example, the video game development company, Bethesda, right?
Okay.
Bethesda has groups and accounts, social media accounts, in all kinds of different countries. And it was a picture of all their different social media accounts right now, right? Pride Month, right? United States, rainbow. France, rainbow. Great Britain, rainbow. Russia, normal, black. Everywhere in the Middle East, black. It just shows, you can see the countries by which ones, the by where Bethesda has and where they don't. Like, where they accept the LGBTQ community and where they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the way Bethesda... runs their accounts.
And so there will be people on the left who will be, who are extremely pro the LGBTQ community and yet still support Palestinians who kill gay people and are accepting of the community in Israel. Like, and it's just, it's, and everyone, someone has to get thrown under. But here's the thing, Johnny.
Here. Look at that. Middle East, Russia, and Turkey. There you go, friends. They can't see it. You can't see it. All right, just Google Bethesda Pride and you'll see it.
Okay.
Okay.
So you have that whole concept of everyone's hating on everyone, but they're all forming this coalition. Now, the fact that this coalition is so extremely diverse, first of all... Okay, so I was asking Eyal, and Eyal said something that was very shmiasi of Rachamim. Now, I'm specifically adding the word of Rachamim here.
Right.
Right? Because it was... No, it was just... It was so beautiful. This is what he said. He goes... And he's like, yeah, these people are upset about this, and these people are upset about that. He goes, but I guess if you were a person who might label themselves of the extreme center, then you would be able to look upon this coalition as something extremely positive.
I think it is extremely positive. I just don't think it's going to survive.
So
I think it's a beautiful thing. I think there's an incredible diversity of people that are coming together here. By the way, I even am softening the way I think about Naftali Bennett as a result of this. However...
Now, again, I would like to remind you, and I know that this is a story...
I still don't think it's going to make it to the end.
He does not hate gay people.
I don't care.
You're just him with his settlements and extreme.
No, not even.
So what's
my problem
with Bennett?
Bennett is the way Bennett said he was. Bennett came into the Israeli government saying, I'm the new guy, I'm going to drain the swamp, and within one election cycle, became the swamp. Then he was like, I'm education minister, watch me stick it to the Haredim, and then he turned around and took it right up the ass from them. So he's just like the rest of them.
The Haredi community, please. My point is that because it's so beautiful and because so many people need this to succeed, there's so many young
that's
and
why it
and,
won't
there's so many people, if they lose it now, they will lose it.
They will.
And so
I'm
perhaps
prepared,
it's
I'm
a
prepared.
Sink or swim situation.
I'm prepared for this coalition
They're all,
to
they
fail.
They just need to look at each other and go, if we all keep swimming, We won't die.
And then Jerry Orbach's going to say, I'm not going to swim.
Who's Jerry Orbach?
What's his name?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Jerry Orbach was on Law and Order.
Okay.
One second. Oh, he's in. As of 3 hours ago, Orbach's in.
From which part?
His name is Nir Orbach. He's a Yamina guy who was threatening to throw the coalition out because of something. I don't know.
Everyone has a thing, but everyone's getting promised stuff. By the way,
hey, Daya, what's up?
I was looking at what everybody got, like which ministerial positions. And I'm pretty sure I saw one that I know that the guy who got it was like, and you're being given minister of bloody blah. And he went, oh, that's wonderful. What the hell is that? There must be ministerial positions.
I want to be
some
like,
people are just like, I don't know what that is, but I guess I'll take it.
Can I be like a minister of like scotch tasting?
Scotch tasting. I don't know if
that's I mean, thing. Like, I just think there's like so many ministers.
You should be the space minister. I bet that guy.
I don't want to be the space minister. You got to be a scientist for that.
No, you don't. You don't have to be anything to be anything in this country. What are you talking about? Whoever. When was the last time there was a teacher who was minister of education?
I don't know.
I don't know either, but I'm very confident that it hasn't been one in the last 25 years.
I would like confidence.
Confidence.
All right, somebody, fact check it. Let's get our fact checkers on that. When was the last who was the last teacher? Watch what's going to happen. It's going to be like there was never been a teacher who was that.
I wouldn't be surprised. Okay, so here's something I haven't told you because I just found out about it.
Hey, how many teachers go into politics? Only rich people who are bored and career politicians go into politics.
I don't know, but okay, listen to this. So we're at the meeting today.
Ravshai Piron. When was that, Datya?
That was last year. That was like 2 years, 4 years ago. It was all the right guy before, after Bennett.
Okay, then he was a teacher.
Yeah, but he wanted, yeah, okay. Thank you, Datya. By the way, they hated that guy while he was Minister of Education.
Who hated him? The teachers?
Why? Hated that guy. Now that he's gone, he posts stuff all the time. They're like, oh, we miss you.
They're like, yes, queen. What is he, why did they hate him?
Because he was religious and I teach in a non-religious school.
Wait a minute. All teachers hated him or the teachers at your school hated
him? I'm saying the teachers at my school did not like him and now they do.
Well,
I can really only talk, and what I see on the internet, I remember when he was education minister, whatever he posted, it was all like, you suck. I don't know if he had some, he was a principal, so you assume he was a teacher. Yeah, but people fail upwards. So, okay, so here's what happened in the English teachers meeting today, just out of the clear blue. So we're talking like, hey guys, I know some of you saw that letter that was sort of sent around. That didn't seem possibly true, but it's true. The Minister of Education for English has outlawed grammar books.
Why?
Because it doesn't fit with the new curriculum that Israel has adopted from the European core curriculum.
And so how are they going to learn grammar?
That they didn't say that. They just said it doesn't go with the new curriculum.
Have fun being stupid, kids.
There's like, that's, no grammar books. That's just like a thing now in my life. As an English teacher, I can no longer use grammar books.
Well, okay then.
Well,
what happens if you do?
What?
What happens if you do?
Nothing, most likely. And most likely we probably still will. It
doesn't
just
seem like it's really that enforceable.
But they made a rule.
I know.
No more grammar books. English teachers?
By the way, our ladies and gentlemen of our audience, I am not in the government. And I know it sounds like a thing that I would say. No more school! Yes, that's
school
how I would roll.
School is so good for so many kids.
I know. That doesn't make me hate it any less than I hated it.
Might not have been for you?
It wasn't. So, now what? All right, so basically, you believe that this coalition is going
to
happen.
I want it to happen with
I want
everything.
It to happen too, by the way. I don't want people to take my negativity that I don't believe it will see the light of day as the fact that I don't want it to succeed. I think it'd be a great thing. And I, by the way, even if it's not a great thing, wow, what a unique and interesting, let's try. So like, why not?
You know what I would love for them to do? I would like for them to try to outdo each other with how much good they can accomplish for everyone. Like, all those people like, we care about you, so we're going and we want to do this for you. I want every single one of those politicians, Johnny, to do all the things that they said. We're going to help old people and veterans, and I just want everyone to come together and just be, help these Arabs, okay, help those people, all right, great, let's make some rules over there. I just want people to do.
You want
to pass a law helping religious people wear bigger kippot? Cool. Help us with this Ethiopian thing. Cool. I'm done. And everyone just keeps helping each other.
I think that would be a beautiful thing.
I'll help you if you help me.
I think it's going to be a lot of... I'll help you if you do this. I don't want to do that. Well, then I'm not going to help you.
Do what?
I don't know. Anything.
Anything that... As long as they don't go, I'll help you if you don't help them.
Boris, I think that there will be elections. That's what I think. I would love to be wrong. I want to be wrong. I do. I do want to be wrong. And by the way, I've said this 100 times. I like Bibi. I do. I actually think it's time for him to go.
Of course it's time for him to go.
He's had a good run.
He was the youngest prime minister ever.
He was the longest
running prime minister. Like,
he's an excellent statesman. And I think that he deserves a place on whatever constitutes Israel's Mount Rushmore. But it's time to go home and take a nap.
I would like people to stop talking about his wife all the time.
Well, if she, yeah, she. I'll tell you what it is.
It's just such the thing low. About the it's thing so
about
low.
The thing about his wife is that her character makes her out to be not the most likable person in the world. Okay, right. She seems to not treat people under her social status very well. She seems to be demanding, and she seems to be spoiled, and she seems to just like not be a really nice person. So I understand that people don't like her, but there's no reason to just be constantly crapping on
somebody
her.
Told me that she attends, like, security meetings with Bibi.
That's weird. That's a breach,
like,
of...
Her, yeah, that's what someone said at school. I can't remember who it was.
How do they know?
I don't read enough articles in Hebrew, but apparently there were articles in Hebrew that the head of the Mossad said that she was there during a briefing, and so was their son Yair.
Weird.
At security
what
briefings.
What was the security? Any?
I don't know.
I feel like there are some security briefings that are less secure than others, you know? Like, I bet that there are some security meetings that are only for people with real clearance that if you and I sat in on, you'd be like, I knew this already. But hopefully it's not anything that's like a threat to national
hopefully
security.
Hopefully they're not telling Sarah Netanyahu about the aliens.
Tell her about the aliens. That's great. I would love to see her ranting and raving about the aliens at some point.
It's just more and more of that every... Arielle and I were watching skydiving yesterday. Abigail and I, we were watching videos, HD videos of people like sky surfing, cloud surfing, whatever it's called, and just like free diving out of an airplane in
with
super
the wing
HD.
Suits?
Not with the wingsuits. With Super HD, because we have the story cubes. Remember she asked you to play story cubes and you said no? So we were playing with the story cubes, and one of them is a little dude in a parachute. She didn't know what a parachute was.
Who didn't?
Abigail.
Okay.
So we watched some cool videos, and Ariella was like behind the couch, and she's watching. She's like, look, Dad, you can see that the world is like round. I was like, yeah, that's right. It's right there. I was like, you know, people don't believe that? She's like, why? I'm like, because they're dumb. She's like, okay.
You know,
so the 8-year-old gets it.
I like those wingsuit videos also.
You'll notice how few of those are on fail videos because
they die. If you fail, you die. And everybody dies. But what's crazy about it is that there's an athlete that I like who was talking about how he wants to start training. He wants to start training to do wingsuit stuff. Do you know how many times you need to skydive before you can start training on a wingsuit? 200 times. Most people use skydiving as a bucket list. One time in my life, I'm going to strap myself to some dude and we're going to jump out of a plane.
Okay, so people who dive instructors.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. So 200, and then you can start training. It's not 200, and then you know how to do it. You can start training at 200 jumps.
Who makes those rules?
That's what was cool about, like, I watched a video
of Minister of Aviation.
Of James, do you like James Corden?
I mean, I've seen a couple of him sitting in the car singing.
He's all right.
I like watching him. He's in one of the absolute best episodes of Doctor Who.
Okay. He's all right. And I saw a cool video of him going skydiving with Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise convinces him to go skydiving. Obviously, Tom Cruise has jumped enough times that he doesn't need anybody to be strapped to anybody. What's up?
Okay, so Molly just asked, did we all get the vaccine?
Yes.
And it's really weird because Ellie, my wife, has been telling me that people that she works with in business are talking about getting the vaccine. We all got the vaccine six months ago.
Yeah.
6 months ago, and it's like the whole world is like, hey, did you get the side effects? And I was just like, I feel like it's like a time lag. Like, we went through all the excitement that all of our American friends are going through now 6 months ago, and it's weird. It's like Israel getting movies in the 80s.
We all got Pfizer shots, and everybody I know ever in this country has one, has taken it. So, yeah. And
that's people who haven't.
And that's why we don't need masks anymore, more or less.
Yeah. It's so exciting. That's why, by the way, I kind of have hope for this coalition. I know that they're really not connected, but it kind of feels like we're coming out of this cave of darkness. I'm going to my first concert, Rockets Willing, in 2 days from now.
The question is...
There's still tickets?
I am with my daughter this weekend.
Sunday night?
Oh, Sunday night.
Sunday night.
No. But...
Come. Come with me. Walkways. Barbie. Saturday night. It's going to be amazing.
Sunday night.
And I asked them, I told you about this on the last episode. Yeah. I said, they were like, yeah, because it's either this Sunday night or October 28th. Because everything's booked. You guys have to come with me. It's going to be awesome.
I know that we're actually kind of, wow, this is a good episode. I don't even pay attention to how long we've been talking. And we're probably going to end in whatever time. But I wanted to prepare a deep dive tonight. And Michael had told me something, I'm not going to get into all the details of that. It's not relevant. And the idea was I was going to do a deep dive on B'nai Akiva. And then I started doing research. Forget the scandals. I started doing research on B'nai Akiva, and I was like, everybody knows this. At least everybody that we assume are our listeners. And then I said, okay, so what's behind it? What's behind B'nai Akiva is the Mizrahi movement. What's behind the Mizrahi movement is basically...
Give me the Mizrahi movement in a sentence.
The Mizrahi movement is the active movement behind Zionism that helped people move to Israel and also helped people help support Israel in the diaspora.
Okay.
That's why my high school is called Fuchs Mizrahi School.
Okay.
To be aligned with those ideals. And then I started talking about... I started reading about... Zionism and the history of Zionism, most of which I already kind of knew. And then something occurred to me that really I thought was very powerful. Israel as a country is unique amongst countries that have ever existed and will ever exist before. Never in the history of mankind has a people returned to their ancestral land and founded a country on it.
Yes.
Right?
That is a known...
Fine. And that is the very thing that makes the progressives so uncomfortable about Israel. Forget the relationship with the Palestinians. Forget any of that. Zionism is a form of nationalism. Nationalism makes people extremely uncomfortable because... Who were the nationalists?
Because if you're inclusive, then you're exclusive?
No, because if you're a nationalist,
you're
a Nazi. That's what they'll go. They're going to go that straight line because the Nazism was founded on strong German nationalistic principles. Nationalism is what got the Jews thrown out of basically every country in Europe over the last 2,000 years.
Nationalism got us thrown out?
The countries go, we need to get these Jews out of here. We are native whatevers.
Right, but we're not... Okay.
and we got to get these Jews out. I mean, it was usually by the time that the crown had come into debt with the Jewish people, because the Jews were the moneylenders and the bankers. Fine. But the part that our entire existence is based on a form of Jewish nationalism,
yeah,
that is tied to our religion, to our existence in this part of the world, and that is I think something that harms, I don't want to use the word harms us, but that's something that makes people very uncomfortable.
Yeah. Okay. And that, I mean, I don't give a shit.
It doesn't matter whether you give a shit or not.
Of course it matters. If I don't give a shit, I mean, if I gave a shit about what they were thinking, then my alternative is to be at the mercy of all those countries that murdered us for 2,000 years. So
our ability,
their feelings, or my life.
When we were, Avram says that he likens it to Czech nationalism, which was found to revitalize Czech culture, which had been largely subsumed by the Austro-Hungarian culture. Okay, so that's them refinding themselves,
yeah,
after World War II, after the split of Czechoslovakia into the Czech Republic and,
yeah,
Slovakia, and now they're, but we never.
And now what? And now what, though?
But we never, like, we never stopped being nationalistic.
Are they kicking other people out of their countries?
We never stopped wishing to return to the land of our fathers.
Right.
That's in every thing that's ever been written by a Jew for thousands of years.
But we also didn't go back when we had the opportunity.
When was that?
Right now, every Jew who's not here.
Oh, okay. That is. What does that mean?
What I'm saying is that there's a lot of there's a new word for when it's all talk, when you're just
full of shit.
No, but there's like a word they use on the internet for that. When you're just talking to try to please people, you just say, but it's not.
You're giving lip service?
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't think that.
You understand what I'm saying? Listen. Technically, you could argue you want to go to Israel so badly, you've been dreaming about it. It's a $600 ticket. Have fun. Nobody's stopping you except you.
Okay, but that doesn't mean.
No, I'm okay.
That's just your relationship with your. That's your relationship with Israel. Versus your relationship with wherever you live, which I bet is quite comfortable.
Do you think that there might be some little bit of a bunch of people going, go, get the hell out of our countries, we don't want to see another Jew ever again, go!
I think that when the French and the British divided up Palestine.
Czech nationalism was in the late 19th century around the same time as the start of Zionism.
Okay, fine. I didn't know that. Excellent. Give that man a like. When...
Boop.
What was I saying? I don't remember. I lost my train of thought. But it doesn't matter what you think or how we view it. Because the world is going to respond however they're going to respond anyway.
Why does it bother them so much that we want to have a country?
Because they don't have a country.
By the way, Nazis is only 1945, and they hated us long before Nazis and nationalism.
Oh, so this is what I'm saying. When the French and the British divided up the lands in the 40s, right? Part of it sort of feels like they were, on the one hand, trying to say, like, okay, Jews, we're sorry the Holocaust happened. That was crazy. Here's a country. Please, so sorry.
It's the one thing that you've wanted for 2,000 years. Here you go.
Right. But on the other side, I am cynical enough to believe that some motivation might have come from other countries going like, hey, they'll go, they'll leave. Like, we don't have to kill them. We can just let them go.
Yeah.
And then they'll leave anyway.
Yeah. And we didn't.
Yes, sure they did.
No, and then we're still around, and we're mixed in with everybody else, and
fine.
Maybe that makes them angry.
Fine, but I think that some of the motivation was that too. We'll get rid of some of them.
You want to tell that Vietnam story?
Which one?
The one that has to do with what we're talking about, with the generals that you told me.
What?
Was this not you? That a few, like many, many years ago.
Oh, yeah. So several, two famous Israeli generals from the Six-Day and Yom Kippur Wars retired, and they went on a trip to Vietnam as a, what?
North,
well, it wasn't then, it was post the war.
Yeah.
They went on a trip to Vietnam, and they put in an official diplomatic request to meet with the general that had run the North Vietnamese army. Giap was his name. G-I-A-P. I don't really know how to pronounce it. I apologize to his family. Anyway, so they met with him, and it was this interesting meeting. And at the end, they didn't bring up the conflict. And at the end, he brought it up, and he said, you know, I have a lot of
visitors
who come to me, and they say, Palestinian visitors, who come to me, and they say, you got rid of the French. You got rid of the Americans. How do we get rid of the Jews? And I tell them, we sent the French back to France. We sent the Americans back to America. The Jews have nowhere to go. You will not get rid of them. And it's true. We don't really have anywhere to go. But the experiment of...
You saw that meme that was floating around like last week that was like, we together as Jews can fight white supremacists and we can come together with all the minorities and we'll all come together and we'll save the world. And then the repost was then like a week later that the post hadn't aged well because Jews were getting trashed by minorities all across America and getting beaten up.
There's going to be something that I'm sort of like mentally and emotionally preparing myself for, and that is going to be, it's going to be very difficult for, it's Pride Month, so there's going to be a lot of parades around the world.
Jerusalem just had theirs.
I'm sure it was
8,000 people strong.
I'm sure that it was okay to bring an Israeli flag with a rainbow on it to this parade. However, go to New York and try to bring an Israeli flag to a Pride parade. And it's already happened in the past. Was it in Chicago?
Slut Day
parade? It was some kind of a march of a bunch of women.
Yeah.
And they told the people who had the Israeli flag that they were not welcome.
They're called Jews.
Right. They told the Jews that they were not welcome in the parade. And I have a bad feeling that's going to happen quite a bit. In this going forward, I'm sad about it because I wish we could all march in solidarity. I think that there are, by the way,
I really would like to attend the Jerusalem Pride Parade, but I never really want to attend the Tel Aviv one because they're on Fridays in Tel Aviv.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just the traffic and I've never been and I've always wanted to go.
I've always kind of wanted to go too.
I think it's this week or like next week or something.
It's usually it might be tomorrow. Is it tomorrow or is it next week?
I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, I think that in some ways I think that the LGBTQ community and the Jewish community actually, if aside from the obvious differences, that there are things that we have in common. Especially in terms of the fact that the Jews have always been considered the other and have been treated with and have been kept at arm's length from truly joining global society. I think the LGBTQ, whatever, the gay community also is treated that way and definitely treated as though they are the other,
mm-hmm.
right? So I think that there are some shared experiences and values that if we really were able to have an open discussion about the world and stuff like that, you know? I bet that there's a tipping point of the world where if enough people could go to Hamas and say, stop it, they would. But you'll never get to that tipping point.
Was it you and I who were having that conversation where the next time we get attacked, we should just...
Yes, and we're going to end on this, this thought, right? This is something that I've been thinking about for a long time. What would happen if... What would have happened? Okay, so... Hamas fires 7 missiles at Jerusalem, okay? We protect ourselves. Iron Dome goes into effect. Everything is fine.
Avram says it's next week on Friday.
Okay, there you go. Iron Dome in full effect, and then we ignore it, okay? Then they start shooting missiles at the communities in the south. Iron Dome in full effect, and we don't respond. We don't do anything. We just sit back and go to the world. Here's what's happening right now. We have not scrambled our jets. We have not shot any of our tank rockets.
Please take care of this for us. Make them stop.
We are not. All we're doing right now is protecting ourselves. And by the way, how crazy would it be the first time that a rocket from Gaza didn't make it out of Gaza and landed inside and killed people in Gaza?
And we haven't fired.
And we haven't fired a single shot back yet.
I mean, it's also possible that they do better if we weren't constantly gunning for them the moment that they fire. Like, they might have more time to set things up properly. I don't know how the rockets work.
That's the other thing, is that if we're not responding, that will give them time to set up even more and to potentially hurt us even more.
Yes, of course.
But I wonder how long, like, what...
When I brought this up to Michael
the other day, he said a week. I thought, like, 12 hours.
No. A week? A week is an insane amount of time. And if after a week the world doesn't come out against people shooting rockets and doesn't take care of the problem for us or make the efforts that they think that we should, a week is an insane amount of time. Yes, but imagine after the week is over, be like, okay, world, we tried it your way. We did what you've always asked us to do. Look at these a-holes. It's crunch time after a week. No. I would much rather just have a peace agreement and just end all the hostilities forever. But we could go and blow the shit out of that place. And no one would be able to say anything because we tried.
Oh, that wouldn't stop anyone.
We tried for a week. Johnny, that's a ludicrous amount of time.
Yes.
To just let people fire rockets at us, and if they don't do anything to stop it, no one would ever be able to say anything
to us. The citizens of this country would revolt, unfortunately. I don't think you could do it for a week. But let's say you did it for, like, 2 days. 48 hours. Is that enough time?
I don't think so. Because people have to make phone calls and things have to happen and protests have to happen and people need to get worked up about it. You need to hear, have you heard the Israelis are getting shelled? Oh, those poor Palestinians. No, you haven't heard? Look at the memes. Like, it needs to grow. And it needs to be pictures of Israelis in fear and none of that shit on the other side.
It needs to be
and
pictures.
And no victims on the other side and none of it. And we just be like...
What would be crazy?
I have a shawarma. Like,
what would be crazy is imagine that it happens and then they force a ceasefire and we never fire a shot, right? And then the New York Times puts on, these are all the people that were killed in the conflict. I don't know if you guys remember this, but
we didn't
shoot anybody. It would be amazing.
Now here's the thing.
It would be amazing if we could pull it off.
People would get shot.
People,
no, I'm saying, but even on their side, because even when you're firing rockets, whenever these things happen, people are constantly trying to go through fences, and there are attacks and tunnels. And
if you come through a tunnel, I'm going to blow your face apart.
Yeah, but you're already through the tunnel, things are already really bad, that's why we blow up all the tunnels. Like, listen, you're right, this is a stupid scenario, which we would never allow to happen, because people would die, and every single life is we don't want any of our people to die.
Right. But it would be a...
Because Israel is a home, and we don't want you to come into our home and kill us.
It would be an incredible thing to show the world. But we can't... I don't think it's in any way viable.
Avram says, I advocate for greater economic freedom for Gaza precisely because it would give the world a way to provide a direct response to violence without having to merely go through condemnations.
The problem with that is that the greater economic freedom leads to them building more missiles. I'm that cynical. I'm going to be that guy.
Yeah. It's sometimes to win, you have to lose.
Okay. And on that note, that's going to do it for us here on episode 4 of season 7 of Tangent Podcast with Mike and Johnny. Mike. Johnny, I pointed for those of you who are listening on the Mixler feed. Is anybody listening on the Mixler feed?
No.
No. Okay.
But well, that's where you can catch us on Spotify.
We love you anyway. We're on Spotify. We're on...
Apple Music.
Apple Music?
Yeah. Apple Podcasts.
Oh, yeah, we are. I helped set that up. Anyway, we love you all. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. Okay, bye.